Football talking. With such glitches.
I know, man. Sorry, my laptop has a dead battery in it, and so it always has to be hooked into a wall. And I just I put my drink down and just slightly hit bumped the cord and it unplugged on me. My apologies, it won't happen again. Everything is cleared away.
So we're talking about how awesome the Browns were?
We can move on.
Yeah. So you're back to recording? I guess you can record the whole thing, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and merge them together. Not an issue. I have to do a little editing and stuff. So let me go ahead and ask you a question.
Sure.
So let's say it's the Super Bowl. You're hanging out with family or friends, and you can choose one beverage out of any in the world to show off, drink, talk about. What's that beverage of choice?
My favorite beer is Corsendonk Brown Ale. It's their double. And I think one reason why I like it is because it comes with a cork. Any beer that you can open with a cork is pretty cool. So that's been kind of my go-to beer. I can't be cool like Dexter's Library and pull out some kind of crazy cocktail. I'm really just a beer and wine guy for the most part.
Do you judge your beers off like a ranking system or anything like that? Like, I know they have like the Rate Me Beer or Beer Rate or something. I don't remember what it's called, but do you base some of your drinks off of that or no?
Well, what is it? Beer. There's a beer online site that does kind of rate beers, and occasionally I'll check that. It's like Untappd is the app everybody uses, but I have loaded that app to my phone like 4 times and I've never used it. I just post my beers to Twitter, and that's really it. So it's about certain styles. Like, I don't really like IPAs. They're a little too bitter for me. They have to get kind of really citrusy for me to get into them. But I like the brown ale. It's kind of a sweeter beer and darker. You know, porters and stouts are good. And I don't know. I just like a lot of different beers. I recently posted to my site about the Goza style, which is kind of like a sour beer. And it's like an old style. It's kind of a combination of sour and kind of salty, so it's an unusual flavor. So I just like to try new beers. And the scene's exploding here in Atlanta. They have a lot of new breweries coming up, so that's really cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, I do have the Untappd app, and it's so funny because every time I drink one, it's always telling me about how it's like land of the free. You love American beers, and you love like the Pilsner and whatever. It's like American made. And I'm just like, yes, I know what I like. And I was just like, I don't need you to update me on this. So, here, I have a couple other questions here. We all play fantasy football for multiple different reasons, whether it's just to hang out with friends. Personally, I love the whole trading and just the rush of that where you trade with someone and, you know, you feel like you ripped them off, but yet they feel they ripped you off and, you know, find out at the end of the season, you know, who really had the right call. What's your favorite thing about fantasy football?
Well, I'm really in two main leagues. One's a keeper league that started in 2000, and it literally happened. We're at a friend's house, and he went home and he hit an auto draft. So we just had our players ranked, and I think Brad Johnson was my top draft pick in that year. So I actually won the title that year. I had to pick up, I think, Cordell Stewart off waivers, so that was pretty awesome.
That's awesome.
So I've been in this league for a long time. I had my dad join mainly so I could get a drive home, ride home from the draft because we drink a lot. But he ended up winning 2 titles, and I hadn't won since 2003, but I won this year in kind of a fluky playoff run. So it's just that history we had together. We've been through all these crazy life changes. Like the first year we had a live draft, one of the commissioner's daughter was born like 2 days before. Now she's turning 14. So you can tell we've been here for a long time. So you have this history, and we can talk smack. We can remember the Billy Volek to Drew Bennett game that got one guy in the playoffs and he won the championship, that kind of stuff. So I like having that history. I'm in this dynasty league, and the weird thing about it is it's one of those zealots leagues. So there are people in that league. We've been in the league like a decade, and I've never met any of them in person except people I already knew before. And we have a guy in England, we have a guy in Germany, so
that's pretty cool.
It's kind of cool that it's a worldwide thing. Plus it's that full-on dynasty IDP 60-man off-season rosters, 53-man during the season, so it's really deep. So it's hard when people talk about dynasty and they talk about team defense. I'm like, come on, man, really? If you're going to get full in for dynasty, shit, I mean, I always say this, but I'm like, they don't have team pitcher in baseball, so what's this deal with team defense? I know it was kind of put in there, but it's just, come on. Leagues get rid of kicker, I've become a big fan of those.
I have never played in an IDP league, but I'm actually going to sit down with a Wally Sperlin. I'm not sure if you know him. He's on Fantasy Sharks, and he said he was going to go down and kind of give me the complete rundown of how to do it. It's so mesmerizing because, like, I've never played anything like that, and it just seems like it's one more thing to get you even more further involved in fantasy.
Yeah, exactly. And then every single thing that happens, except maybe the long snapper and the punter, can affect your team. I mean, one thing I like about IDP is that if a quarterback throws an interception and running back makes the tackle, then you get a point for that. I'm like, that's awesome. You get everything that happens. You get, you know, the real kind of football experience. But it's fun. I mean, I'm only in these two main leagues, and I'm sure I'll end up, I think the Scott Fish Bowl's coming up again, and I always end up in a couple of random leagues we get invited, and you're like, well, if you invite me, it's hard to say no, but the only issue is trying to keep that time for maintenance of all your teams.
I hear you 100%. Every year I say I'm going to cut down, and for whatever reason, I never can. It's so difficult. Where it's like, you know, Scott Fish, and then something else shows up, and someone else says, hey, can you do this? It's kind of difficult.
That's kind of why I like the NFL 10 style, because if you draft and then you're done, you know, whatever happens, happens. You're not making any roster moves. It's just best ball. Otherwise, yeah, you get a lot of waivers and thoughts. And since the leagues are very different, you can't kind of use the same list, because there's, in the Zealots League, nobody on offense is available on waivers at all, except maybe a third-string quarterback. You can get defensive guys, but in the local league, we have kind of capped rosters, so there's always tons of players on waivers.
So what's your favorite league to play in? I've done, you know, everything where you do contracts to whatever. What's your, is IDP your absolute, if you were to start up another one with friends, family, is that your go-to?
Probably. I mean, overall for me, it's like, it depends on who's in the league, and it's fun to have different kind of rules, although I can't say the leagues I'm in are that exciting. I mean, we changed our local league from a redraft to a keeper, and we had our every 4 years total redraft, which is kind of fun to have that expanded draft every 4 years. I like the dynasty thing. It's just, I don't know if I'm ready to hit the button and start over again. I mean, I did our redraft, I think, was, or our startup draft was in 2005, so, like, Julius Jones is my first round pick. I mean, that's a while back, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of people going, who's that? Julio Jones? Did you say his name wrong? Yeah.
That's funny.
I think I was in three leagues that year, and I had him in every league, and that was not, it was short-lived.
You know, what you said about Dynasty is dead on, though. I'm in a 32-man league, and I finished in second place. I was in the championship last year, and I told myself before the end of the season, I was like, I'm going to restart. I'm going to sell off my team for a bunch of draft picks. And instead, I was selling my draft picks for players, and I was just like, all right, I'm going to give it one more shot. And I know I'm just going to keep doing that, and eventually, I'm going to have garbage on my team. And it's just, I don't have it in me to just, it's almost like giving up, but you're just rebuilding, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you read so much stuff that you have all these great ideas, but you can't really go with one strategy. It has to be kind of fluid. I mean, in my Dynasty League, I traded Matt Forte last year for what was the second pick, and that turned to Mike Evans, and it's hard to do because Matt Forte still has value, but you know he's an old running back, so in a year or two, he's probably going to be done, and Mike Evans could be a new team for a decade. And that's where I came up with this concept of dynasty immortality, where you're able to take a first-round draft pick in 2005, and you turn around for a first-round draft pick in 2011, and you try to keep doing that, so you got to know when to let go. And sometimes you just want to hold the guy until the end. If you had Adrian Peterson, you're probably not going to let him go until he's done. I mean, a guy like Tiki Barber, he was great until his last year, and then that was it.
Yep, when they're done, they're done. They fall off the edge of the earth.
So, does your wife have issues with your football obsession?
Actually, she's a really big football fan, believe it or not. She's a diehard, and I mean to the extreme diehard Notre Dame football fan, where our whole Saturday revolves around that, where it's going around where we're going to watch the game, how long we're going to be there so we can make it to so-and-so's place. If we're going out to eat, do they have a TV? Can we watch the game from there? That's how it all goes. And so I actually play a college fantasy league with her, and she gets really into that. And so it's a small league with just friends and family, but it's really exciting because it's something I'm able to talk to her about, where I remember I had I had RG3, what's the other guy's name? Tavon Austin. I had both of them, and she was able to have Geno Smith and just players like those. So those, you know, were previous years where we both had stacked teams, and, you know, we're both sitting there trying to trade with each other over dinner one night, and it's just, I sat there and I was cracking up, and she's like, what are you laughing about? I was just like, just because this is what I love so much. And I was like, and I'm able to share this with you. I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah, that college stuff is tough because I did it a few years ago, and it was a league that had all, whatever, it was 118 teams at the time. And that was tough. You had to have, it was like, get the Hawaii quarterback, get the Boise State quarterback, get the Texas Tech quarterback. When Tebow had like 50 touchdowns 1 year, you just had a major advantage. And it was just so hard to keep track. I think there's a lot more, there's a lot more assets now, and a lot of people playing like kind of Devy type leagues, so you can actually get that. But it was really hard to figure out the depth chart for all these teams.
Yeah, we try to simplify it as much as possible, where we just did the like four major conferences. So, because that was the big thing is, you know, you're pretty much streaming defenses unless you have like a defense like Alabama who's going to shut down everyone. You're streaming defenses each and every week. And if you are able to, most of the time everyone has an elite quarterback because even if you are in a 10-team league, most quarterbacks are all about the same. They're able to throw up, you know, 30, 40 points.
You have a bad game in your time. That style.
It's very true.
Okay, this is the big question. Got to ask this one. It's part of, you know, everybody has to answer it. Football or sex? What do you think of more?
Ooh. You ask my wife, she'll say football, and I would probably agree.
Yeah.
It's just something that I can't even get out of my mind.
There is no off season.
That is right.
So, do you still, since you're like, do you live in, is it Indianapolis or just Indiana?
I live in Indiana, about 45 minutes from Indianapolis and about 30 minutes from Cincinnati. I'm right in the middle of both.
So it must be weird because you can kind of make fun of them for the Trent Richardson trade, but they have Andrew Luck, so really, who cares, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Who needs a first-round pick, right? I mean, the Patriots don't need
Yeah, we got Johnny Manziel from it, so we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like they made a big deal about that Ricky Williams trade, but Washington got like 10 draft picks and apparently did nothing with them because I never heard of any of the guys they took. It takes two sides. I mean, that's the thing. You have like a really good like trade that you make, but it is for one player. Like last year, I was with the guy in England, and he loves the trade, and he's been trying to get like Hakeem Nicks from me forever. So we finally made a deal where I got like a fourth round pick for him, and I got Paul Warlow, who's a linebacker for the Falcons, who makes a lot of tackles. So with that pick, I got Paul Richardson, and I was really excited about it, but since he tore the ACL twice, it's kind of like, I think that pick is kind of lost. And obviously the Hakeem Nicks side is a, you know.
It's a wash too, yeah.
So that's what a lot of trades end up being. You're like, oh, both sides kind of sucked. Okay, yeah.
Right.
So what's your usual Sunday NFL football tradition?
I'm a restaurant manager, so the past 2 years, I have been working on Sundays. That is our busiest day. We do breakfast and lunch, and so it is by far my busiest day. I used to do this whole thing where I didn't talk to anyone, did as much research as possible, but, you know, I am able to go ahead and take a couple breaks, and I just kind of make sure, you know, I'm making sure, any injuries. I have like the NFL Network and ESPN on TV and different things like that. So if there's any breaking news, I just go to my phone real quick, make the changes. We're able to have those luxuries now. But really, I just make my decisions on a Saturday and I just roll with them. You know, a lot of people tinker and do different things like that. And I found that my success has actually been better where I haven't been doing that, where I go back and forth on someone that I think's going to produce more. I do my tinkering on Saturday night and I just roll with it Sunday.
Yeah, I guess all you might miss is a potential injury, but I know I have a friend who had the Sunday ticket and I would be driving to his house and I would have to like pull over and like, you know, make that last minute change. And I think it's because you remember your misses more than your hits. You go, I remember that time I switched one guy for another and the guy I switched for had a horrible week. Just because There's some randomness to it.
There is, yes. And it's when you get into the middle of the season, you know who you have and who you're paying attention to. So I know Saturday night I need to keep an eye out whether it's, you know, Demaryius Thomas and is, you know, possible for missing the game. I'm able to go ahead and just kind of keep an eye out. And if it says, you know, he's active, he's going to be in the game, or if they say he's probable, still going to go through workouts, I'll go ahead and just downgrade him.
Yeah.
I'll take him out of my lineup. And I'd rather just play safe. And that's exactly how I play fantasy football, is very, very safe. A lot of people like the guys with high ceilings and, like, you know, Michael Floyd, where he can get you 40 points one week, a goose egg the next week. Not really my style. I like the guy who's going to throw, like, an Eric Decker. He's going to get you a consistent 10 to 12 points. That's my style of play. I play consistency.
So what are some of your favorite, like, football writers or podcasters you like to follow?
Really, there's a bunch of different guys I like to follow. Some, like I've mentioned earlier, Dennis Farrell's one guy I really enjoy listening to. His podcast is phenomenal. Of course, Fleeger and Briggs from the Fantasy Asylum. Those guys put on a really great podcast. I really like the Coach Esser show with Dennis Esser. I think he's a phenomenal guy. And then even just to be able to interact with a lot of these guys on Twitter, I think that's the best part. Adam Azer from CBS, I think he's absolutely amazing on his show. Even though he's one of those people that you don't necessarily trust their judgment and what they're saying, I just love his show. I think that he brings a really unique style to it. And the same with Matthew Berry from ESPN. I love his style of writing. I think that it's very captivating, and I get really involved into it. The way he writes, it just, like, reaches out to me, and I read every single word of the article. However, I don't follow his advice. That's just how I am. I don't like the advice he gives, and I feel like he's just not the same style of advice that I would give. But for the most part, it's just a little bit of everyone. You know, I kind of take everyone. If you're going to tell me so-and-so is going to do this, I like to listen to everyone's opinion, because, you know, no one's ever completely right, you know. So, yeah, sorry, it's just kind of a random answer, but I like a lot of different guys.
Yeah, we'll keep track of who you didn't, you know, mention. They'll get back to you, so the hate mail will come through.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
That's the goal of this part. So do you have, like, a hobby or interest that you have outside of football? Is there a life outside of football for you?
Really, it feels like there isn't, honestly. I try to hang out with my son as much as I possibly can. He's just my pride and joy. And then we're going to have a girl here. Gosh, she could happen any time. She's due in about 2 weeks, but my wife looks like she's ready to explode. Hopefully she didn't hear me say that. So I just try to spend as much time with my son and soon daughter. It's just they're the biggest blessings in the world. I like to watch a lot of movies, and I collect a lot of sports memorabilia. We just bought a house, so I was able to – I have cardboard cutouts. So I have a life-size Michael Jordan cardboard cutout and Shaquille O'Neal cardboard cutout and Ken Griffey Jr. And just looking at stuff like that now in my little man cave is just really exciting for me.
So you a Cleveland sports fan in general then?
What's that?
You're like a fan of all the Cleveland teams?
Not really, honestly. I don't even know how I became a Browns fan. People ask me that all the time, but I don't know how it happened. I started liking Dennis Northcutt's one of those guys I just fell in love with.
Dennis Northcutt.
Right. You know, you mentioned Brad Johnson earlier, and I was like, man, I loved Brad Johnson when he was playing. But no, I love LeBron James. I think he's really good, and I think he's going to be the best basketball player of all time. I'm waiting for the Twitter attacks on how Michael Jordan's better. You can go ahead and bring him on. But no, I'm actually a huge Cincinnati Reds fan for baseball. Like extreme diehards on that. So, you know, I'm just kind of all over the place. Basketball, I just like the whole NBA in general. It's as weird as that sounds. Kind of like the NFL. I love the Browns, my favorite team, but as long as there's two teams on and playing, I am completely, like, involved.
Yeah, I just asked because it is Cleveland and the Hawks. I think it's playing tonight. That's how into the NBA scene I am. But basically, the Atlanta Hawks having a home court advantage conference finals is like the Titans hosting the AFC Championship game, something that's never happened. So that's pretty monumental, and I've actually seen car flags. We do down south, there are car flags. I've actually seen Atlanta Hawks car flags, and I'm guessing not many other teams have ever sold one. So way to go, Atlanta, at least on that.
So Zach, let me ask you this. Let's say your internet's shutting down. You're not going to be able to get online and do any of your lineups, but you have to hand your your league over to one other guy to go ahead and maybe draft for you. Who's the one person you're going to trust to draft your team?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think just we have similar laid back views on the NFL as a whole. I would go with Mr. C.D. Carter. He's just plus he does that sort of a sideline for him, so I think that would work out. He wouldn't get, you know, emotionally involved with the player. He'd just, you know, take whoever's the best.
That's actually fantastic. His draft consultants.
He doesn't take Dennis Pitta, so.
You know, he'll wait on that quarterback too.
Well, that's what happened in our local league, because we had that redraft, and Tony Romo was like the 13th quarterback off the board, and that's who I got. And the best part was in the championship game, I went against the guy who drafted Aaron Rodgers in the first round, and Aaron Rodgers, for some reason, always stinks in the fantasy playoffs. And so I won the championship. It's one of those things, that onesie position. I'm okay waiting on it. Especially, yeah, that's another thing. If you have a history with your league, then you know a lot of what they're going to do. You know who's going to take that defense early. You know who's going to take that second quarterback, or so you get a little bit of a feel when you know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I actually went ahead after the draft last year. I went ahead and printed it out. We did it online, but we were all together. I printed it out, so I was able to look at where people were taking certain players. You know, who took a quarterback early, so I can kind of target that when my next draft. Maybe that makes me a nerd, but hopefully it helps me win money. So you can look at it either way. It's an investment, as I like to think.
I have a Google Doc with all my rookie drafts ever, and that includes every pick and every single year. Because I hope we do this even in 50 years, whatever technology is available. Like now they have it where you can kind of project a screen and make your picks, but I still like the stickers, the old-fashioned stickers and the live draft board. And at the end of the draft, someone takes a picture of it, and then we have that forever, so you at least keep track. Sometimes you're like, I don't remember who I took in the 13th round. You know, I remember how I was all strut, and I'm like, I got Johnny Manziel last year, and that's Tony Romo, man.
Do you guys do anything cool, like a trophy or a belt ring, anything along those lines?
We've had the same trophy since 2001. It used to be that the winner would put something, because it's like a cup, like a beverage in there for the champion to win, but it's been there so long that I'm pretty sure if you drank it, you wouldn't live very long. So there's like a bit of a passing of it. It's like the Stanley Cup. You get to keep it. So now my wife's like, where are you putting that trophy? You know, because you get to put it somewhere in the house. You know, it's not going to get like the, no, I was joking, I'm going to do the eternal flame and put it in the backyard. That just wouldn't be right. But it's nice to have these traditions.
Yes, it is.
That adds to it. I mean, usually I end the interview by asking about, you know, sites and podcasts and stuff you like to plug, but here we are on your show, so you've got that covered.
Yes, I do. I was actually, I mentioned this in my last podcast, but I was able to do a partnership with fantasypros.com. So if you're listening in, you didn't listen to the last podcast, that's pretty exciting news on my end. You can go to fantasysportsrants.com and do one of their mock drafts. Have you ever tried one of those before, Zach?
Yeah, I looked at that and I'm like, oh, I remember doing one of those last year repeatedly.
Yeah, I was going to say, they happen in like seconds, and it's so, I love them. I've done like 1,000 of them in different spots, just trying to kind of see where guys are going.
Yeah, it gives you a feel. I mean, it's, sometimes when you do the same kind of mock draft, you know where players are going to go, but it helps you get kind of started, and especially if you don't pay attention for a little while and you forget which players have gone up and down, then you go, oh, look at that, this guy's a third round pick, okay.
So
like the rookies, where do the rookies go in redrafts? And that's important. Yeah.
So Zach, how many books have you written exactly, and are all of them ebooks, or do you have some paperback books? How do they work?
Well, 2 ebooks. Otherwise, I have unpublished manuscripts that have probably remained so, including my great American fantasy football novel. But I've put my Ask a Fantasy Football Expert interview series in the book form. So there's 1 through 50, and then 51 through 100. I think I'm currently at 143, 144. But I think the series may end at 2. I think 2 is probably enough.
Man, that's a lot. So, my final question is, what's maybe the most memorable thing that's ever happened in one of your interviews? Is there something that just absolutely blew your mind when you're talking to someone?
Well, I think I found out that Fantasy Douches into Needlepoint, but really it was just the opportunity to get to interview Matthew Berry, because my wife does book publicity, so she basically, when Matthew Berry's book came out, said you could request a copy of the book, and he showed up to town, and I managed to get in touch with whoever his representative was, and we got an interview done. So that was kind of cool to get that. Like, that's one name that some people who are kind of casual fans actually know, but for the most part, you could name 20 fantasy people to the average person. Like, who? Which I kind of, in a way, you kind of like about it, because it is kind of a niche thing. But it's a fun community. You get on Twitter and just, you can talk nonsense with people, and it's a lot of fun.
You're exactly right. What did I post the other day? Oh, I post, what is the best soundtrack to a movie? And I just didn't think, I normally write a question like that, and I'll get like one or two answers. But I bet I got like 45 or 50 answers on it. I was just like blown away, and I was just like laughing. And my wife's like, what are you laughing about? I was like, the Twitter community is, and fantasy football community is like, it's just so funny sometimes how they all get so heated into the smallest things where people are retweeting and saying, no, that soundtrack sucked. I like this one. And it's just, she jumped on. She's just like, well, talk about the Space Jam soundtrack. She's like, that's the best. And I was just like, oh my gosh.
Still a fan of Pulp Fiction, although I can't say. It's like in the past 15 years, I'm like, what movie did I see where I was like, wow, what a great soundtrack. Like, that was a, for me, it was like my movie peak was like end of college, beginning of post-college era, like in the 90s. So you would like buy a DVD, bunch of DVDs on Friday when you got paid, and that was a big thing. And I don't even remember the last time I bought a DVD.
I've been trying to get rid of my DVDs with the whole moving. I own over 400 DVDs. I was a big collector of them, and so I've been trying to get rid of them, like, a dollar a piece, and people are like, nah. Like, I collect Blu-rays now. I'm just like, I hate all of you. It stinks. So, Zach.
Technology just gets ahead of you.
Go ahead and let everyone know again where they can find you. I know you've kind of plugged yourself a couple times, but do it one more time.
Never get enough of that. Twitter, really, is the main place to find me. It's ZACH_LAW. Zach on Sports. I kind of did an off-the-cuff five stages of grief kind of joke about the Ryan Tannehill contract, about how Twitter goes bonkers every time a non-elite quarterback gets a giant contract extension that turns out to not be as giant as you think. And I'm doing like an annual layers of Dynasty Fantasy Football, like what different layers you have on your Dynasty team, and I'm going to post a new version of that pretty soon. And I guess I need to get some more interviews going, because it's the off season. But people really aren't quitting anymore. It used to be, during this time of the year, people would quit their podcast, and you might see them pop back up in July. But now, for the most part, everybody's making a year-round venture, because we know there is no off season.
No, you're absolutely right. And you were dead right about that, where people used to, there's like kind of a hiatus time where from January or February to about middle of July, there was nothing you could find. And now it seems like there's just so much content out there now that it's exciting, where you're able to stay in the now all the time, where people are talking about the combine, to the draft, to, you know, OTAs, to minicamps, to everything, so.
I mean, there's no comparison. Like, people are talking about the extra point being moved to the 15-yard line. And that probably gets way more interest than the NBA draft lottery or the Major League Baseball draft. Like, things that are giant in the NFL are just like these little blips in any other sport.
It's very true. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show here. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Again, you can listen to the show on fantasysportsrants.com. I'm very excited to talk with you, Zach. It's been a while, and I believe I spoke with you and Sharona last time, and you know, you guys are staying very busy. I see you guys took just only a little break, but you guys are back at it, right?
Yeah, this is our usual time. I think we're going to get back to it next week. I believe she's in the middle of a move or something, but yeah, she's always up with the content, so it's usually a Tuesday or Wednesday. Hey, we're doing a show, sure, and I go, let me find someone who can show up and talk. So I think you'd be a good addition to the show one of these weeks. We can talk, Browns and how exciting they are going to be in fantasy.
Well, when that happens, I'm sure I'll probably start crying. I'm due for a good cry. I can sit there and I'll bring my Charlie Fry bobblehead on the show too. We can hang out with him, ask him questions, yes or no questions.
Well, I have my Pac-Man Jones jersey. I have my used to be a Vince Young, then used to be a Jay Glocker, now used to be a please retire number 10 jersey, and Coach Chris Johnson.
Well, we can make a switch on number 10 jerseys. I have an away in home Brady Quinn jersey. My wife, since she's a huge Notre Dame fan, has two Brady Quinn jerseys, and then my son has a Brady Quinn jersey. So I'll throw in a package deal. You give me your Vince Young one, I'll throw you six Brady Quinn jerseys.
City named later.
Yeah, right.
I'm with you. I've given up on buying active player jerseys. I think I'm just gonna. Once a guy's retired, I'm like, well, then he can't change teams or have something weird. I mean, it can have something weird happen to him, I'm sure. But yeah, for a little while, I'm taking a break on jerseys.
Well, that's a good thing. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in. I know you and me just keep going and rambling on, but that's the good thing about fantasy sports. Well, thank you for everyone for listening in, and have a good night.
See you, Chris.
See you, buddy.